Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at the importance of creating rich habits. Joining me in this episode is returning guest, Tom Corley. Tom is an internationally recognized authority on habits and wealth creation. His inspiring keynote addresses cover success habits of the rich, failure habits of the poor, and cutting edge habit change strategies. Tom has spoken alongside Richard Branson, Mark Victor Hansen, Robin Sharma, and Dr. Daniel Amen, and many other notable speakers. In Tom's five-year study of the rich and poor, he identified over 300 daily habits that separated the haves from the have-nots. Tom is a best-selling and award-winning author. His books include Rich Habits, Rich Kids, Change Your Habits, Change Your Life, and Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Tom has appeared on CBS Evening News, The Dave Ramsey Show, CNN, MSN Money, USA Today, The Huffington Post, Marketplace Money, Success Magazine, Inc. Magazine, Money Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, Fast Company, you name it. Tom has been featured on there. We're honored to have him on the show again today joining us. If you're interested in joining our investors group, you could go to cashflowninja.com/investors group. And fill out an application form and or email me at info@cashflowninja.com to start the discussion to see if you're a good fit for our group. And if you're living in the Philadelphia, Bucks County, and Southern New Jersey area, we are hosting a live investors meetup event every month in Newtown, Pennsylvania. For more information on the monthly event and information on how to join us at our next live event, you could go to cashflowninja.com/events. MC Lobsher, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and also the president and chief wealth and investment strategist of Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate cash flow banking, also known as infinite banking, with their business and investments. If you're interested in learning more about how we create strategies that integrate cash flow banking and investments to turbocharge them, you can access a video series at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, MC. Thanks for having me back. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Really appreciate you and always enjoy our conversation. So this has been quite a pleasure to connect. Tom, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about your background and your journey with my listeners, there might be some listeners that's familiar with you. Tom's been on the show before, but there's a lot of new ones. For the new ones, I would also highly recommend going back, just putting Tom Corley in at cashflowninja.com to capture those two first episodes. But Tom, if you want to give them just a little bit about your background and journey.
Sure. So my background is I'm a CPA, I'm a certified financial planner, but I'm also the author of several books. I did a five-year study on the daily habits of rich people and poor people. And then I wrote a book called Rich Habits, which became kind of a semi-successful book. I mean, I've sold over 100,000 copies of it. And I've then since written other books, Rich Kids, Change Your Habits, Change Your Life, which was also pretty successful. And a book with Michael Yarny in Australia. We wrote, he's the top, one of the top real estate experts in Australia. And we wrote Rich Habits, Poor Habits. And that became a bestseller and does very well in Australia. And now we're kind of exploding all over the world with different publishers in China and Vietnam and India and South Korea even. So we've got a lot of our content is, my content is getting out there in the world, and it's pretty cool because it's all based on research, and people dig the research. They want to know more about what it is that rich people do that makes them rich and what the poor people do that makes them poor. So it's a pretty exciting journey I've been on the list, since 2009.
And this journey started, for new listeners too, if you don't mind sharing that part of it too, because you had a client with a situation, and that's kind of
what kickstarted this mission and journey, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was, I had just taken over this CPA firm, and one of the business clients who had been with us for a while, he came in and wanted to meet me. He had a big emergency. So I met him that night. It was like 8 o'clock at night. He came to my office after work, and I think it was a Monday, and he said, I've got a problem. My bank just termed my line of credit, and that means they shut down the line of credit and converted it to a term loan. And he said, I've got payroll this Friday, and I'm not going to make it I need a couple thousand dollars more, so I need to get another line of credit, and I need you to help me get that. And I told him there's no way I was going to be able to get him in 4 days a line of credit with any bank. So he kind of broke down and he started crying, and he said, what am I doing wrong? What are your successful clients doing that I'm not doing? And so I was so emotional, the meeting, that I left. And the next day I started doing research to try and find out, what is it that rich people do that makes them successful? And what is it that poor people do that drags them down? And the only thing I could find that was of any value was the Millionaire Next Door. But that focused on people that were, making a decent buck, that were already kind of successful, and what their habits were, not necessarily habits, but what they kind of did with their lives to get to that point. And I said, well, this isn't really helping. It's not specific enough. So I started doing my own research. I started out interviewing rich people. That took 2 years. I had basically what I called my 20 question list, which was 20 categories. And if you broke down all the questions in those 20 categories, it equaled about 144 questions. And then I took that data and I just dumped it onto Excel worksheets. And then I shifted over to poor people, and that was about a year and a half, and did the same thing. And then I kind of realized when I was, analyzing all my data that, my God, this is all about habits. I mean, this is daily habits. Like 90% of the stuff that separates the rich from the poor are habits. So I summarized everything into what became my Rich Habits Summary, which is kind of, kind of famous. And everybody wanted to see it. I mean, I have thousands and thousands and thousands of emails from people asking for copies of my Rich Habits Summary. So I said, boy, this is a big deal. I decided to write a book about my, the main top 10 keystone habits, rich habits, I call them. And the rest is history. I've been, it's taken me to Australia. It's taken me to Vietnam, to Canada a few times, and all over the United States doing speaking engagements. And I've been in the media probably 1,000 times, and major media too. I've been on TV, CBS, Fox, NBC, I've had a lot of, even Success Magazine did a profile on me, 1 year. And so, it's just, hasn't stopped. It's a consistent flow of media requests to talk about my research.
Yeah, it's been fascinating. I came across your work about 3 years ago now and was just fascinated by it, and a lot of great stuff. Here's what my listeners are probably thinking right now. You mentioned the top 10 habits, and right there, I know what they're thinking. We're in their ears, and they're going, what is it? Can you break down the top, those top 10 habits, discussing the kind of like the parts of habit forming, I would say, spheres of our life, health, relationships, and wealth?
Yeah. So the first rich habit, it's first because it's the most important. You can't change anything about yourself without having self-awareness, right? So that some people call it mindfulness. I can't get my head around that term. To me, it's just self-awareness. Are you aware of what you're doing? So the first rich habit is to really just to become self-aware of your habits. And you do that by tracking your habits for 3 or 4 days. You bring a notebook wherever you go. You write down what you think are habits, and you'll know they're a habit because the next day when you write down in your notebook, it's going to repeat. And it could be good or bad, so you put a plus or a minus next to it. And that way you can kind of self-evaluate, you know, which habits you have, which ones are positive, which ones are negative. So that's the first, you know, rich habit. And then one of the other rich habits is really building what I call gold-plated or rich relationships. These are relationships with individuals who are success-minded. They don't necessarily, MC, have to be successful because success, you know, it's hard to find rich people who are willing to spend the time with you and become part of your inner circle. They've already spent 20 years building their own inner circle, so they're not going to very easily let somebody else in. But there are other people out there who are, you know, they're on a journey to be successful themselves. They're success minded. Those are the type of people you want to surround yourself with. They're positive, upbeat individuals who are focused on growth, learning, developing their knowledge and their skills. And they do it as a matter of habit. They do it every day. And so the relationships are, I like to say, the currency of the wealthy. The wealthy foster relationships primarily with people who they believe are success-minded, who have what it takes. They have that it factor, and they become part of their inner circle. And over the course of their lives, they lean on these people for different reasons. The other thing that I think is really important, it's one of the top rich habits, is pursuing daily self-improvement. Now, you can do this primarily through reading. I found in my research that the wealthy people read about 30 minutes or more every day just to learn. Now, it was almost always focused on whatever it was that they were doing for a living, their job, their career, or the goal or the dream that they were pursuing. So this perpetual self-improvement in knowledge and in skills. And when it comes to skills, there's really, I found the wealthy people, you know, become virtuosos in terms of their skill set. They do it through two mechanisms. One is deliberate practice, which is practicing every day. You can practice all of the subsets that make up your skill every day. For example, tennis players. I used to be a tennis player, a very good one. And, because I know a lot about professional tennis players is, you know, we would focus on hitting, say, 500 backhands down the line. Then we would focus on hitting 500 cross court backhands. Then we would hit forehands down the line, then lobs, then volleys, then serves. You know, we'd spend 4 hours practicing subsets of our skills. And that's deliberate practice. Now, there's another type of practice which takes you from being very good, maybe even borderline professional, to being a virtuoso, somebody like a Liberace on the piano or a Steve Jobs in terms of design. And that's analytical practice. That's practicing and then having somebody provide what I call a feedback loop. It's immediate feedback. They watch you doing something, a skill, and then they provide immediate feedback on how you're doing that. As a writer, I get immediate feedback. Every time I write an article, I have, you know, thousands and thousands of people that follow me, and they'll immediately provide feedback on the article. And then I'll look at it and I'll say, oh boy, that's a good point. You know, I've got to really improve, you know, the way I'm trying to communicate a certain point. And so that feedback is critical because that takes you from being really, really good to being a virtuoso. And virtuosos get paid the most amount of money. They get a premium for whatever, you know, the service or a product that they're providing. And then there's health. So I found that which surprised me, that wealthy people were devoted to aerobic exercise. In fact, 88% of them they spent 30 minutes or more on some type of aerobic activity. And that why it surprised me is I had this, because I grew up in a family where we were poor for most of our lives. And I had this vision of wealthy people in my head as fat, smoking a cigar, greedy, unhealthy. You know, they worked all the time. They did, you know, they were just focused on making money. And my research said, no, that's absolutely not true. They were actually focused on maintaining optimum health. And so why? Why was aerobic activity such a fundamental part of their exercise regimen? Well, as it turns out, because I wrote a book, Change Your Habits, Change Your Life, which is really the physiology behind habits. And I found out that aerobic exercise provides more oxygen, and the brain consumes 20% of all of the body's oxygen. And that oxygen, when it makes its way into the brain cells, it does two things. One is it is used as a catalyst to convert glucose or ketones into ATP, which is the main energy source. And when that happens, it's like the process is like if you ever see tigers or lions on the Serengeti or in Africa, they're ripping apart an animal, a prey that they just killed. There's pieces flying all over the place. Well, that happens with the glucose and the ketones inside each cell. The second purpose of oxygen is then to go around like a sponge and clean up what they call those free radicals, that mess inside the cell. They clean up like a sponge the free radicals, the floating electrons that it could cause damage to the nucleus. And then they permeate, because oxygen is one of the things that is allowed to go in and out of cell membranes. They leave the cell membrane, they float into the bloodstream, they make their way into the lungs, and then they are converted, that that sponge of waste material is converted to carbon dioxide, and we expel it into the air. So oxygen is so important. It also aerobic exercise increases the production of BDNF, which is a protein. It increases the size of neurons and the health of neurons. It also, aerobic exercise increases the myelin sheath, which is the insulation around the axon, which is every neuron has an axon branch. And then it's got like, if you think of a neuron as like a tree, the axon branch is the trunk. And the branches are the dendrites. Dendrites, they send out information, and the axon receives information. And so by doing aerobic exercise, unbeknownst to them, the wealthy people actually improving their brain health. And by doing that, they were increasing their IQ. And when you're pursuing a dream, your brain has to function right. You have to be making correct decisions. And if your brain is not operating perfectly, you're going to make bad decisions. Unwittingly, I think these millionaires were engaged in aerobic exercise. It's almost like their intuition told them, you need this aerobic exercise because we need our brain to function optimally so that we can succeed. So those are some of the rich habits that probably the top five.
Yeah, those are great. And I highly recommend that book for our listeners. If you have not read Tom's book, definitely, definitely check that out. Tom, you also talk about five paths to wealth, because there's different ways of doing this. You mind sharing them?
Yeah, so this is an important topic, because not everybody's hardwired differently. And there's, because there's, really five paths to wealth, four of which you can create your own wealth. One is inheritance. The first path is the saver investor path. So this requires that you live below your means, save the difference between what you spend and your net income, and then invest it prudently. In my study, the self-made millionaires saved a minimum of 10%, but most often they save 20 or 30%, this saver investor class of millionaires. And then over the course of 32 years, they built their wealth by saving and then investing their savings and watching their investments prudently. That path to wealth actually requires no skill set. It requires that you take almost no risk, very little risk. So you don't have to have all the other things, the attributes of success that we'll be talking about in a second, that other people have. You don't have to have unique skills. You can just live below your means and save and invest prudently. So it's probably the easiest path to wealth because everybody can do it. Then the second path to wealth is the what I call the stock compensation path. These are the senior executives at publicly held companies. They work for, you know, a company, a big company, and they rise up the ladder, and their compensation becomes disproportionately stock compensation. I have those people, that path takes about 20 years to accumulate wealth, according to my study. And the third path is the virtuoso path. This is the path where you engage in deliberate practice and analytical practice, and you perfect your skills. You become the best in your industry at what you do or what you know, and you get paid the most because you're a virtuoso. And that also takes about 19 or 20 years to become wealthy from becoming a virtuoso. And then the fourth path is the dreamer path, the entrepreneur, pursuing a dream. That's the path that I pursued. That just happens to be hardwired. That and virtuoso, to some extent, happens to be hardwired in my DNA. Other people might be a saver investor. Other people might be comfortable being in a big company. But that wasn't for me. So, path, you know, that really requires that you find you have to find a dream, something, and you know it's something that you should be doing as a dream because it makes your heart sing. It inspires you. It's something you think about 24/7. You can't get it out of your head. That became the writing for me. I had no idea I was a good writer until I, you know, pursued the dream of writing a book. And now that's, you know, what I do. So then the fourth path is the inheriting your money. You know, so, you know, yeah, that requires just dumb luck. You know, just have to be born into a wealthy family or an expanded wealthy family where you get. I had a friend of mine who, you know, was middle income class person, and he inherited over $1 million. He didn't even know he was going to inherit it. He had no idea. It came at the most opportune time when he was in his mid-50s, when we need the money the most, right? So, you know, that happens. You get lucky and you inherit money. So those are really kind of the five paths towards wealth creation.
Absolutely. The lucky sperm club, right? And of course you can marry it as well. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways to do it. I love the dream part and definitely can relate to that. And also you mentioned it's hardwired, Tom, but I think a lot of this stuff can be taught as well. And folks are going to have to learn it because the way that we're working are changing, the way that companies are structured is changing, right. And this new economy, I mean, with all the other things coming into it, is definitely going to change some of those paths with AI and so forth. What are some of your comments on that?
Yeah, well, I think the saver investor path to wealth, for those who are risk averse, people who are unwilling to take risks, I think that's a great path. But it does take a long time. I know a lot of my clients, because I run a CPA firm, they chose that path. It just worked for them. But that's a path that somebody, you know, for most often, it's got to be a parent, raises you to be conscious of, you know, how you spend your money and how, you know, to manage your money. So you have to have a unique set of parents who are focused on making you financially literate. And, you know, if you're in that category, you're in the top 5% because 95% of parents just don't spend the time teaching their kids about money and the importance of saving. So, you know, if you figure this out when you're 40 years old, you're still going to have another 30 years. You're going to have to devote yourself to that path because it takes a long time to become a millionaire. So for me, it wasn't an option because I came from a poor family. We had poor habits. I didn't know any of this stuff, until I was in my, you know, late 40s. And, so I've been, you know, trying to use the rich habits that are accessible to me, which is, you know, and the one path for me is the virtuoso path and the dreamer path. I worked for a big company, Arthur Anderson, when I was starting out. but that wasn't a publicly held company. And that's a path too, because you can become a partner, but it wasn't for me. I couldn't stand working there, MC. I loved the people, some of the people, but I hated the whole idea of really, being accountable for every minute of your time and working 12 to 14 hours a day, every day for, your career. That's what it took. So that wasn't for me. So you have to find the path that's right for you. That's the right fit for you. And for me, it was the dreamer path. That was a fit for me. It was just perfect.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. Dave and his team at The Real Asset Investor have syndicated many successful real estate and ATM projects over the last decade. Now his team has an exclusive opportunity for investors in the coal space. Do you want to be part of an energy project that takes conventional coal and cleans it up by extracting liquids while releasing almost zero emissions? The sale of these liquids can produce strong double-digit cash flow and aggressive tax benefits against ordinary income, all while using America's number one most plentiful resource in a responsible, efficient manner. Now that's non-conventional. For more information on this exclusive opportunity, you can visit therealassetinvestor.com or contact the Real Asset Investor team at info@therealassetinvestor.com.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's noradarealestate.com.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview.
Here's a topic that you and I had mentioned and a concept that I like leaning into this one. The concept of self-interest and pursuing self-interest, because especially in today's world of political correctness, if you even want to call it that, and all this other virtue signaling and the rainbows and unicorns and all the fluffy bunnies and all that stuff, that is looked upon as a dirty word. I don't know if you want to touch on that a little bit and give your two cents on self-interest and the importance of self-interest.
Right. So it's called the universal law of self-interest. It's, I really think everyone who's wants to understand this topic better, would read, Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations or any biography on Adam Smith. There's a new biography that just came out that I'm reading. It explains it in great detail. So this universal law of self-interest is never going to change. It's not proprietary to human beings. Every single living organism is guided by this number one rule. It's the first rule. You know how in iRobot, MC, they had the three rules, right?
Yeah.
This is the number one rule of all living things, not just humans. Self-interest. And it's there for a purpose. It's for, there for to, so that you could survive. It's a survival law. It's never going to change. You and I only care about one thing, ourselves. Now that might be a little caustic. People might say, not how I think. Well, guess what? It is. You just are not accepting it or willing to accept it. It's a universal law. It's never going to change. And you can see this universal law in effect in Venezuela. There are people, really nice people, kind people, church-going people, who are literally trampling on, a couple of weeks ago, trampling on 175 other people to get to food and water. Now, their self-interest kicked in, and they said, we don't care about, political correctness. We don't care about utopian ideals. What we care about, because it's the number one law, it's a universal law of all living things, what I care about is self-interest. So what I'm, the point of all of this is, it's never going to go away. So if you want to be successful, you have to leverage this universal law of self-interest. You have to, and how do you do that? Well, since you know everybody is only interested in themselves, you can add value to the lives of other people. If you can add value by providing a service or a product that benefits other people because all they care about is themselves, if you can help them improve themselves or their lives in some way, shape, or form, the invisible hand that exists will benefit you financially. You're going to become wealthy to the extent that you're adding value to the lives of other people, and that's because of the universal law of self-interest. So I know a lot of people out there are interested in becoming wealthy and successful because they are selfish and they want to become wealthy and successful. They want money, and it's self-interest directing them. So I did research and I wrote books on how to do that. And I've sold a lot of books and I've made a lot of money selling those books. So the invisible hand benefited me. And it also benefited these people. I had somebody email me the other day. I want to thank you because you completely turned my life around. I'm now no longer in debt, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's you know, I Rich Habits, the book, because of self-interest. I wanted to become a successful author. I could sit here and tell you politically correct things that I wanted to help people, add value to their lives, all that stuff. All I was really doing was leveraging the universal law of self-interest by helping improve the lives of other people so that it could help improve my life.
Absolutely. And you and I had spoken before. I mean, we just had tax day, which I look forward to every year because I get to look at my scorecard. And the scorecard is, the tax law is, my philosophy on it is a set of incentives for you to direct capital. It incentivizes you, for example, to provide affordable housing for folks, right? So if you direct capital towards that, there's significant tax advantages, especially now with this the tax law into place of doing so. Business owners generating and creating something for other folks of value and providing and creating those things get tax benefits because of the value that they create. So when I look at that, I usually say, if it's a great day and I'm smiling and I'm ready to pop the champagne, I did well because I was creating and producing for other folks and I directed capital in such a way that other people benefited. But at the core, it's still me trying to play this game, reducing my taxes for the self-interest party, myself and my family. And because I am that way and people are built that way, other people get to benefit. You know, within your business, there's people that you're employing, you know, there's suppliers, there's strategic partners within your investments and so forth. So I think people, because of the environment that we live in, try to steer away from it and say things that are very acceptable, I guess, in polite society these days or cocktail parties. But the root and the truth of the matter is that you have to understand that universal law, as you just mentioned. Otherwise, you're not getting to the truth, number one. And number two, if you don't see the truth for what it is and see how the world works truthfully, you're not going to position yourself to be successful in this environment.
Yeah, that's where the rich people, this is one of the things that separates the rich from the poor. The rich people become rich, the self-made millionaire rich become rich because they understand the unvarnished truth. They are focused on the truth. They're not interested really in the utopian ideas out there or the ideals. They were interested in the truth. Because they're focused on the truth, self-interest being one of them, they are able to leverage it. And they make an awful lot of money because they understand human nature is directed primarily by self-interest. So and when you understand some of the truths behind what it requires to become wealthy, and you embrace those truths, whether you like them or not, you're going to become successful. You know, you're going to, if you follow, if you walk in the footsteps of the wealthy, you're walking along a path that's been proven. If you say to yourself, well, I hate wealthy people and I don't want to do anything that they do, you're not going to become wealthy. I don't care what your utopian ideals or sensibilities are. You're just not going to become wealthy. You may be liked by a lot of people because you have these this philosophy that everybody seems to like, but just because somebody likes something doesn't mean it's a truth. And the truth is that we're all directed by self-interest. Embrace it. It's never going to go away. And once you accept it, as long as you understand that it's there and accept it, at least know what to do with it. You have the ability to leverage it.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned an example of a, what is she, 19 years old? She's very young. And yes, we are going to talk about the Kardashians for a while, listeners. But Kylie Jenner is a billionaire, a very young billionaire. And how a lot of people just snub it and, how can I say, poke fun at them or that kind of stuff. I used to be in that category. I used to be in that category where I just kind of pulled my nose up to reality TV and TV stars and all that stuff until I took a step back. And I started seeing what Bethany Frankel, for example, was doing, the Skinny Girl brand, which was just genius of just utilizing all the vehicles that are available to build her business and her empire that she's built. The same way these folks are doing it. And yes, obviously, there's a lot of quote-unquote haters out there and a lot of folks poking fun at them. But maybe if you could just touch on that for a second, because I thought that was really interesting too, her business model and how she created and built this billion dollar empire.
So how it even started was Yahoo Finance reached out to me. They wanted to interview me because Kylie Jenner had showed up on the front page of Forbes magazine about a month ago. And they wanted, because I'm one of the self-help experts, self-made millionaire experts in the United States, they said, you know, what is your take on this? Is she self-made? And so, my initial reaction was, she's a clown. This is a joke. She didn't do it on her own. But then I said, wait a minute. One of the rich habits is to be open-minded. So let's put aside your prejudices and your biases for a minute. And so I started studying. It took me about 3 or 4 days of studying her business model, and that was requiring a lot of research. And I after I was done, I was like, oh my God, I was completely the opposite of right, which we call wrong, about Kylie Jenner. So what I found out is she had a business model that was a four-step business model. The first step involved building, you know, anybody who's going to be successful, your business model, you have to build your brand. And the brand is really your herd. And which is another topic we can talk about. It's the herd doctrine. It's building a brand is really about bringing more people into your herd. What Kylie Jenner did, because when she leveraged her popularity thanks to her family, is she was devoted to Instagram. What was her primary social media outlet? And she built over the course of something like 6 or 7 years, 110 million followers in her Instagram account. And I think she had 26 million people on Twitter. So she built this incredible brand. So that was the first foundation for her business model. The second thing she did was she was surrounded by success-minded people, successful people. Her mother is a, like her or a hater, I don't care what you say about Chris Kardashian, she's a brilliant businesswoman, brilliant. And she and the people that she has around in her orbit she brought along, and they started advising Kylie Jenner on how to be successful, especially with respect to her modeling career. And then the third thing that Kylie Jenner did is she got to know her followers, her brand, the people in her herd. She got to know what they liked, their likes and their dislikes. So those are the three things that she did. She built a brand. She surrounded herself with successful people who knew what they were doing. And then she understood the wants, the likes, and the dislikes of the individuals that made up her brand, her herd. And the fourth thing that she did was the easiest part of all. Let me come up with a product that my 110 million followers like. And that was a lipstick case thing. It was like a three-part product, but she came out with it. And by the way, she didn't create a manufacturing facility for it. She didn't create a distribution business to distribute the product. She outsourced all of that. And within the course of 2 years, MC, she had $1.3 billion in sales, because 110 million of her followers, who she knew exactly what they liked, she provided a product or a service, in her case, a product that appealed to their wants and their needs. And she became a billionaire almost overnight. She did it the right way, building a brand, surrounding yourself with successful people, knowing your target market, and then creating a product that your target market likes or wants.
I remember a website crash the first day on launch day. That's how well she positioned this. And then it was up and running again. I mean, I thought was so interesting. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I used to be one of those people too, that thought all of that was kind of like a joke and just noise and just kind of plain, you know, in plain English, stupid, right?
Right.
But there's so much to be learned from that, especially how people are creating businesses these days, because things are going to continue to change, you know, and instead of just saying, well, this is kind of stupid or idiotic, or that doesn't fit into, you know, what I believe or your kind of framework of how you view the world, look at it, take a step back, take a big picture view, and look at what people are doing and study them, because these are the folks, by the way, that are going to be mentors to all of us, because some of the things that especially the millennials and even the generation behind them are coming up with is increasingly exciting. It's new, and it's going to be very disruptive. So I appreciate you sharing that. One final question for you. You know, I love touching on legacy and the next generation and so forth. And now having two kids under two, these things are extremely important to talk about. You've spoken about, and you've written a book, Rich Kids, but also about habits for children and certain habits that parents should start teaching children. What are some of the important ones that you can share with our listeners?
Well, you know, so the kids, you know, the technology has really wrapped its arms around the kids nowadays, right? So there's, you know, any kid who's 10 years old that doesn't have a smartphone, they get made fun of now in school, right? So the smartphone is literally, you know, it's attached to them. It's part of who they are. And that smartphone opens up an entire world of opportunity to these kids. You know, the ones that are going to be the most successful are going to have habits that leverage that technology. And what are those habits? It's the habits of listening to, you know, podcasts instead of, you know, going on Instagram and just shooting pictures with your friends, or Facebook. I know the kids don't like Facebook, but Instagram, Snapchat, instead of just focused on that, you can use that technology. Parents can teach their kids or institutionalize habits with respect to their kids in the use of the cell phones, so that they're using the cell phones to help learn, develop skills. And the learning part is, you know, they can listen to podcasts, they can read books on their cell phones now, get them an Audible account, let them listen to audiobooks. They can read on their phone the ebooks, so you can do that. You can have the, direct the kids to certain podcasts. Hey, I'd like you to listen to this podcast. You're going to learn. Podcasts are the big thing. It's going to, and podcasts are going to forever be the big thing because of the cell phone. So you can, I think that would be important. And then parents need to teach their kids about financial literacy. They're not, they 95% of them don't, they ignore it. But the kids need to understand the value of a dollar. The only way they're going to understand the value of a dollar is if they're able to use money. And how they, the only way they can use money is if they have it. So an allowance is a good idea, but now you can use that allowance in an effort to teach the kids the value of money. You could say, I'm giving you an allowance. You can spend 50% of it. The other 50% goes into a savings account. And then we're going to invest that money. You can teach the kids these things. Good parents, mentor parents, success-minded parents do those things. And building relationships. This is so important. You know, Jim Rohn once said that you are the sum total of the five people that are surround you. And there's a lot of truth in that. Who are the friends of your children? Are these kids, you know, the rich relationships that I talk about? Are they gold-plated relationships? Or are they losers? Are they kids that are going to constantly breaking rules that, you know, are disrespectful to adults? You know, if you've got your kids hanging out with those kids, guess what's going to happen to your kids? They're going to pick up their habits. And there's research, studies that I write about that harp on this. They say these studies all point to the conclusion, the finding that if you're not instilling habits in your children, somebody else will. It's going to be their circle of friends and influencers. And so you need to be monitoring your kids all the time in terms of their habits. It's important. Otherwise, they're going to have bad habits. And, you know, you see it with kids that grow up and they hang out with the wrong crowd. They start, you know, doing drugs, smoking pot, doing heroin, you know, the Oxycontin. It's all fun and games in the beginning until they get addicted. And where were the parents? Where were the parents? They were completely missing this, that happening, because they're, again, most people are focused on themselves. It's the universal law of self-interest at play. They're not focused on their kids like they should be. They should be watching everything their kids do. So that's, you know, that some of these habits that your kids pick up, well, they're going to be coming from their circle, their influencers that are around them. Make sure they're surrounded by the right people, not the wrong people.
Absolutely. Tom, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Always great to connect, my friend. Where can my listeners learn more about you? Where can they follow you? And where can they stay informed of all the projects that you're involved with?
Yeah, so richhabits.net is my website. You could just Google Rich Habits. I'm all over the place. And you know, if you go on the website, you can subscribe. It doesn't cost anything, but you get, I write every day, so I send out a tip of the morning to you. It's based on my research. I also have free ebooks, free reports. And then there's, you know, my books. I've got right now 4 books that are out. They can, you know, go on Amazon and pick them up. So there's a lot of information, a lot of content on my website, my books, and a lot of media interviews. I try and put up as many media interviews as I can, the major media ones, the big ones. So you can get a chance for those who have never, maybe they've only heard my voice. Now they could see me. You know, I have different TV interviews that I'm on, and just get a, you know, more, you know, it's like peeling an onion, this Rich Habit stuff. The more you peel, the more you understand about it, and the better off you'll be with your life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. And thank you so much for all the value that you provided for my listeners as always. And look forward to having you back on soon.
Happy to help, my friend. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. you can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.